Well, let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 3. And Hebrews 3, again, we'll be reading verses 7 through 19. As we continue the study of Hebrews, this is my first time to work through this book at this level and this depth. And I must confess, it's one of the deepest, theologically speaking, one of the deepest books in Scripture, isn't it? And maybe that's one of the reasons we don't give it as much attention. It takes a little bit of work. There's a lot here. And the pattern has been so far, I think we're going to do 5, 6, 7 verses, and we do one or two, and that pattern's continuing. So we're going to really be giving attention to verse 7. But we'll read verses 7 through 19, that section there. First, we need to pray, ask for the Lord's blessing upon the reading and preaching of His Word, and then we'll give attention to it. Let us pray. Father, we look to You this morning in faith. And we wait on Your word. And we thank You that You have spoken. And that You speak when Your word is read. We thank You that You are the living God and that Your word is a living word. And that it is a word that abides forever. And that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And as it does that work, as the Spirit wields it, it pierces even to the division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And, oh God, we pray that You would give to each one of us here, from the youngest to the oldest, attentiveness. We pray that You would bless the preaching of Your word. Cause us to feel the weight of what we'll hear this morning. And we pray that You would enable us, oh God, once again to see Jesus. We thank You that You are risen and reigning and that You still speak from heaven. And we pray that Your voice would shake not only the earth but also the heavens. And we pray, oh God, that we would know that You are in this place. And we pray all these things in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand for our reading of Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion and the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was He angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Today, that's the word. And I wonder, as you got up today, if you made some plans. You probably have a regular pattern on the Lord's Day. Maybe you got up and categorized all the things you have to do today, the meal you're going to make, and schedule. And obviously, one of the things on that schedule was to come here, to come to worship, to get to church. But then maybe to get out as quickly as you can and get away from Ethan as quickly as you can, because he's probably going to keep talking about Hebrews. And you've got lunch in the oven, and maybe you're going to take a nap. I like to take a nap on Sundays. You're going to spend time with other people, maybe do that. And I'm sure that most of us have thought through what we have to do today. But I wonder how many of us have thought through what God tells us is the most important thing we have to do today. the most important thing we have to do today. And that is to tell you the end at the beginning. That is to hear his voice with a believing heart. Hear his voice with a believing heart. Now, the writer of Hebrews is going to set before us here some of the deepest, most profound uses of the Old Testament. We've seen that already. That just deepens here, if you will, some of the most profound uses of the Old Testament in the New Testament, in all of Scripture. And so there's a lot of depth here. There's a lot of theology, a lot of doctrine, a lot of things for us to look at. And what he's going to do here is he's going to take Psalm 95, written by David, 1,000 years before the writer of Hebrews' day, and he's going to take Psalm 95 and he's going to implant it into Hebrews 3, and he's going to say that the most important thing that you and I could do today, the most important thing you could do today, whatever it is on your list, the most important thing you could do today is to listen to the voice of Jesus and to believe what he says and to act on that in faith and obedience. And also that there's a danger. There's a danger of drifting away, of not hearing that voice today. And so what the writer of Hebrews is going to do now is he's going to pick up one of the greatest warnings in the Old Testament. And we've been looking at Psalm 95 as we've read from it and sung it as well already. But he's going to pick up that great Old Testament warning, that passage, and he's going to say, everything in the Old Testament, and you think about what was going on in the context there of the Exodus, all of that was written for you. That's what Paul says too, isn't it, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, which we read earlier. Everything in the Old Testament is written for you. Everything in the Old Testament, everything that happened to Israel was for you. Everything that the psalmist wrote is not just ancient history, interesting information, old history. It's for you. New Covenant believers, it's for you. It's all for you. And what you're called to do with it is to listen to it, to take heed. When we hear the voice of the Son of God in Scriptures, when we read what the Holy Spirit inspired and said in the Scriptures, we are to listen attentively. And again, that is the most important thing you could do today. Do you believe that? The most important thing you can do today. The Bible is very clear, those beautiful passages. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. We don't even know what today may bring. We don't know what's around the corner, but don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about those things. What's your life, after all? It's a vapor. It's a breath. It's a flower that rises up and is gone. You don't know if you're going to wake up. You don't know what you're going to if you're going to make it through the day. God holds your breath in his hand. He owns all your ways. Think of those passages. And we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And so the writer, looking back at Psalm 95, says, Today, you're here today, you're here now, hear his voice. And if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, we're going to eventually consider three things from this passage we read, verses 7 through 19, and I'll give you the broad outline, although we're just really looking at point number one. First, this morning, we're going to consider the voice of Christ that we're called to hear. Then next Lord's Day, Lord willing, we're going to see the warning against a hard heart in verse 8, and then the final exhortation, the exhortation of faith there in this passage as well. But this morning, while it is today, consider the voice of Christ. Now notice there in verse 7 that the writer of Hebrews is now transitioning from, if you weren't here last Lord's Day, he's transitioning from a section in chapter 3 where he's comparing Jesus and Moses. And the conclusion was Jesus is better. Jesus is better in every way. Jesus is better than Moses. But he's doing that because the Hebrews were in danger of going back to Judaism. And you know about the Judaizers out there. They were saying, well, well, you know, you can have Jesus in this way. You don't have to go all the way. And you can have Moses and you can have the law and you can have the temple and the rituals. And they're trying to have a middle ground, if you will. And they were in danger, many of these Hebrews, of departing from Jesus because it would be easier not to follow this despised Savior. It would be easier not to follow a man that everybody hated, whom the world hates. And the Bible is very clear, the world hates those who follow Jesus. And they're experiencing that. The persecution is intensifying. They're losing jobs. They're losing their homes. They've heard stories of those who have died because of their profession of faith. And so the temptation is to go back and maybe say, well, we're going to go the Moses way, not the Jesus way, and try to put them in opposition. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, no, you can't do that. And notice that the writer of Hebrews is saying to a people who are in danger of departing from Jesus, he's saying to them now in verse 7, the Holy Spirit says, he's saying, the Holy Spirit says right now, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And they knew what that was about. And it's a warning. It's a warning. And there are many warnings in the book of Hebrews. It's a warning to the covenant community. It's a warning to us. It's a warning to the church. And now notice what he does. He actually starts by saying that the scripture is God speaking. And he does that in just sort of a matter-of-fact, quick way. But it's an important statement. Scripture is not a dry, dead book, in other words. It's not like any other book, in other words. It's not just the writings of men. And I wonder if it was just the writings of men, probably more people would read it and have a lot of things to say about it and be interested in it if it was just the writings of men. But Scripture is active and it's living and it has a convicting power. And men know when they are confronted with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit-inspired Word, that it is God speaking. And notice what the writer of Hebrews says. When he takes Psalm 95, he's taking something, you know, remember the context here. When the writer of Hebrews takes Psalm 95, he's taking something written 1,000 years before when he was writing, and he says, the Holy Spirit says presently. The Holy Spirit says right now. Psalm 95, 1,000 years earlier, the Holy Spirit says, notice that. Hebrews 3, 7 through 11 is Psalm 95. Take it out of Psalm 95, put right here in Hebrews 3. And he's taking a portion of that psalm, Psalm 95, and he says, the Holy Spirit says today. Do you get that? Do you see the importance of that? He still speaks, in other words. When we're reading it, the Holy Spirit is saying it today. When the scriptures are read, God is speaking. It is the living word of God. It is the living word of the living God. It's as if you heard God's voice. And everything that we read, Old and New Testament, as we hear the Word of God, as we hear His voice today, it reveals Jesus. And it reveals this so great a salvation. And it reveals Jesus who is better than all. And it reveals the promises of God. And here in Psalm 95, there's a very specific word for us today. And it's a word from the third person of the Godhead about the second person of the Godhead. Notice who's speaking in Psalm 95. Notice how the writer of Hebrews says it. He doesn't say, as David said. Now we know in the history of redemption and in the place where this psalm was given to us and the setting, we know David wrote Psalm 95. And it's right to say that. David penned these words of Psalm 95. Everybody was aware in the congregation here that David wrote this. He was the human author. But notice what the writer of Hebrews says. The Holy Spirit says. And in a sense, he just sort of brushes aside the human authorship. And there's a lot going on there. Again, this is deep, but it certainly says, it's a very powerful argument for those who say, well, the Bible is just an ancient, you know, historic book. It's just a word of men. And the book of Hebrews, with all of its Old Testament quotes, the book of Hebrews with its references to the Old Testament, and I should have counted them up, but we've already had a number of them just in the first couple chapters. The book of Hebrews, with all of its references to the Old Testament, and then the introductions to those Old Testament passages, it says in every single one of them, not Isaiah said, not Moses said, not David said, it says to every single one of them, God says, the Spirit says. The one closest is in chapter 4, coming up, where it says, the Spirit said through David. But it's a very powerful argument, you see. The human authorship almost doesn't matter, in a way. The point is, God is speaking, and here God is speaking in Psalm 95, and here's what one writer said on the Epistle to the Hebrews. God is everywhere represented as the speaker in the Old Testament. Only one passage, and we mentioned it, Hebrews 4:7, names the human instrument, and even there it says God said in David. The author goes so far as to say that it matters little who the human author may have been. The main thing is that God said it. Now, of course, the author of Hebrews, thoroughly familiar with the Old Testament, at such profound, wonderful levels here. He knew who said these things, David, but he doesn't name them. And what the writer of Hebrews is clearly saying is that God the Holy Spirit inspired Psalm 95. That's the conclusion. God the Holy Spirit inspired Psalm 95. He said it. He inspired the words of it. And one of the implications of that is that it's just as active and living today. Just as active and living and relevant and important and necessary as when it was written, when David wrote it, when it rolled off his pen 1,000 years before this, 3,000 years before our day. It's just as relevant now to you and me. And notice what David does. It's very interesting what King David does by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's reflecting back at that point on Israel's ancient history. He's reflecting back on the Exodus. He's thinking back about that first generation. He's going all the way back. That first generation, and you remember they're brought out of Egypt by God's mighty hand, brought through the Red Sea on dry ground, brought into the wilderness to Mount Sinai, and they're given the law, and they're given the instructions, and God's there on the mountain, and the fire, and the lightning, and all of that. And everywhere you look at that first generation and what they experienced in that great, so great a redemption, and you look at that first generation, and it's complaining, and it's grumbling, and it's whining. And these weren't pagans. Now they're coming out of that, but they've been redeemed out of that. They're the covenant community. These are the people of God. These were not people outside the church. And it's saying, if you're in the church, if you're in the church, baptized members of a local church, most of you Stanton OPC, I'm speaking to you and I'm saying this is written to a covenant community, written to a covenant community who is hardening their hearts. Hardening their hearts against God. Notice what Psalm 95 says. Today, if you hear his voice, the Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion and the day of trial in the wilderness. Now, notice here the substance of what is being said. It's that Christ was speaking in Exodus. David says Christ was speaking. The writer of Hebrews says Christ was speaking. It's really powerful. It takes a little work because of our chapter divisions, our divisions here, our verses. But the previous subject, the previous thing said in Hebrews chapter 3 was, the last subject was Jesus. And it said, Jesus is better than Moses. And now we see the next section here in chapter 3. So Jesus is better than Moses. That's the subject. If you hear his voice. Jesus is better than Moses. If you hear Jesus is speaking, you see, that's the point. Today, if you hear Jesus' voice, don't harden your heart. When did Jesus speak? In Exodus. Back through David. And somebody might say, but Jesus wasn't alive then. How could that be possible? How could Jesus have spoken through David? That doesn't make sense. Well, it all makes sense when you know what the writer of Hebrews has been telling us all along. Jesus is God. Jesus is Yahweh. He spoke to Israel. The triune God spoke. That means everything that Yahweh said, Christ said. Christ was speaking, that's what he says. If you hear his voice, if you hear the voice of Jesus, they heard the voice of Christ. They had the promises. Israel had the promises. They had the gospel, and they had it in all kinds of types and shadows. They had the Passover lamb, a picture of God's judgment passing over the people when the blood of Jesus would be shed. They had the sacrificial system, the propitiation. They had the scapegoat, remember him, the expiation as the sin is taken away. And they have all of these sacrifices where there's guilt and transgression removed, atonement made. And the big one here, they had the rock in the wilderness. They had the rock that the water gushed out of supernaturally. God made water come out of a rock in the desert twice. And we would think, reviewing that history, Israel saw all that. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw God bring them through the dry land. They saw the plagues before. And they've been brought through the waters. They're a new creation. And they come out. And they see the gospel in Exodus. And the sacrificial system, the priestly system, the tabernacle. And they grumble and they complain and they whine again. And they don't believe God. They have the word of Christ, they have the symbols, they have the mighty acts of God in redemption, they have the type, they have the gospel, they have the voice of Jesus. And as we read in 1 Corinthians, he followed them, but they didn't listen. We might not think of that as such a big deal. Well, sometimes I listen, sometimes I don't. As members of this church, are you listening to the voice of Jesus in Scripture? Are you hearing his voice when you read the Scriptures? Are you thinking about your need for a Redeemer? Are you searching the Scriptures diligently? Are you hungering for them? Are you feeding your soul with the Scriptures? And we'll come back to this later, and we'll say that one of the surest ways to harden your heart, and we'll get to this next time in verse 8, surest ways to drift away, to harden your heart. Surest way to leave Jesus, which was the temptation for the Hebrews there. The surest way is simply not to do anything. To do nothing. And you'll drift away. One of the surest ways to harden your hearts is just not to listen. Not to listen to the voice of Jesus. Front and center in this entire passage is Jesus' voice, his promises, his gospel, that God is good, that he's full of goodness, full of mercy, full of compassion, full of forgiveness. It's all about the gospel. And at the end of the day, if we shut our ears to that, if we shut our ears to the voice of Jesus, what are we doing? Well, we're shutting our ears to sins forgiven. We're shutting our ears to pardon, to grace, to forgiveness, to the goodness of God. And we're saying, I don't want a good God. Maybe we're saying, I want to think of him as a harsh God. I'm not going to listen. I want to think of him as a mean God. I want to think of him as unfair. Or I want to work by my own merits. I want to do it my way to stand before him. I don't want to think of him. I don't want to hear his voice. And the scriptures everywhere say the voice of God is the voice of mercy, is the voice of grace, is the voice of pardon to those who will come to him, to Jesus Christ. And Israel had that voice, you understand. They had the promises. They had the prophets. They had Moses himself, a picture of Jesus. They had the sacrificial system. They had everything. And so the first thing we want to say is that we must listen to Christ's voice. That's really the emphasis. Today, right? That's the next thing. Notice the important word in this text. Don't miss that word, today. Notice there again in verse 7. Today, if you will hear his voice. Now that word today is going to be lifted out. And it's going to be set very beautifully, very, very wonderfully throughout the next couple chapters. That becomes a motif, a central thing here today. And so it's there in chapter 3 a few times and in chapter 4. Notice down in verse 13, for example, exhort one another while it is called today. And notice again in verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice. And then over in chapter 4, notice verse 7 again, he designates a certain day, saying to David, today, if you will hear his voice. So when was today? Perhaps the most significant thing in this passage, the biggest thing that you and I need is to hear Jesus' voice today. Now, tomorrow, though, should you make it to tomorrow, the biggest thing you're going to need tomorrow, the biggest thing that you're going to need to put in your schedule when you're scheduling out your plan of what you need to do tomorrow, when you plan out what you're going to do, well, you need to hear the voice of Jesus tomorrow, when tomorrow is today. And the day after that, when it is today. And then that next day, when it is today. And you see, there's an abiding significance to this word in relationship to the voice of Jesus. Every day that God gives you life and breath and all things, it will be today. And on that day, today, you need to listen to the voice of Jesus. It's not sufficient to say, you know, I remember years ago when I was really interested in the things of the Lord and I really heeded his word and I enjoyed, you know, studying it and hearing sermons and reading the word, but not so much today. That would be a bad sign. And that's why there's this abiding significance in the call to listen to his voice today, to hear his voice today. Well, the writer obviously is warning against the danger of not listening, and that comes in verse 8. He'll go on to warn against that hardening of heart that comes as you don't listen. And we've touched on that warning, but we want to come back to that next Lord's Day, the warning of verse 8 and the exhortation that follows it. But I want to end this morning with one of my favorite stories from church history. This is really about heeding that word, hearing that word. It's about Charles Spurgeon. He's the prince of preachers in England. But this is before all of that. Before that, when I think he was 15 years old, so a young man, and he had grown up in the Methodist church, but he had said of himself that he was unconverted. And he walked into a church one day, and I think it had a well-renowned minister, and he walked into this church, but the minister was out that Sunday. Isn't that how it always is? And one of the deacons was up in the pulpit. And he was a deacon. He didn't know what to do up in the pulpit. And so he opened up the word to Isaiah, the prophet. We used this text earlier. And he just read over and over and over again, "Look to me, all you ends of the earth, and be saved." There would be a lot to criticize about this sermon and about its structure and its, you know, development and themes and application. He just read over and over, "Look to me, all you ends of the earth, and be saved." God says, "Look to me, all you ends of the earth, and be saved. Look to me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved." And Charles Spurgeon heard the voice of Jesus. He listened that day. And he looked in faith to Jesus and became one of the greatest preachers the world has ever known. Hear his voice. Look to him. Hasn't that been the theme in Hebrews so far? Hear him, look to him, consider him, behold him, hear him, look to him, consider him, behold him. Hear the voice of Jesus and look to Jesus. Are you hearing the voice of Jesus? Are you looking to Jesus? The only other alternative, verse 8 again, is hardening your hearts. Your hearing or your hardening. Are there indications in your life that there's hardening in your heart? In other words, are you not heeding and not hearing, not listening? If so, I want to exhort you to deal with it. I want to exhort you to return to Jesus. He's altogether lovely, so sweet, so full of compassion. Sit at his feet, get in his word, hear him, listen to his voice today. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Look unto Jesus, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us for the ways in which we have listened to other voices than our Savior's. Sought after other gods, placed idols in our hearts, hardened our hearts to your word to us, a word of compassion, of redemption, of salvation, of deliverance. Help us all to hear the voice of Jesus while it is called today. May we follow him and love him and serve him. Help us not to be tempted to turn away, but to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our salvation, the one who is better than everything. And it's to him that we look now as we come to the Lord's Supper, as we see his body broken and his blood shed for us. May we see him here, perhaps as we never have before. May we see him more clearly, beholding him and being transformed from one degree of glory to another. We pray that you do that work now as we come to this table to see Christ's work for us. And we ask it in Jesus' name.